I'm surrounded by grace that sets me free. Jesus saved me with nails through his hands. Jesus saved me and treats me as a brother. I'm surrounded by his love. Singing, he is the Lord. And there is no other. He is the Lord. Oh, sing his love. And he took our endless offenses on him. It melt with the boundless love upon the cross. He took our countless offenses on him. They melt with the boundless love upon the cross.
Praise God. Seriously, he's awesome. He's so good. That was fantastic. I can't wait to start playing that myself and worshiping God with that as that song develops. I'm just so happy to be in an awesome church, hey?
Yeah.
With so many fantastic people doing such a fantastic job.
Yeah.
Just from every level in the church, every department, every person that serves, wherever it is, there is just golden people who just love God and just serving God with everything that they are. And I'm so blessed and so happy to be in a church full of those types of people. It is so awesome. And I think this church is fantastic. And we're going places where we haven't been before. Speaking of awesome people, I want to share something with you and ask you to do something if you want to. I'm sure you will. Do you guys think Andrew is an awesome youth pastor? He's not here, so we can talk about him. Do you guys think he's just doing such an incredible job?
Yeah.
Do you think he's such an influential leader who has had an impact in all of our lives, and we're just so grateful for him and what he's doing and what God's doing through? Do you guys think he's just awesome?
Yeah.
Well, at the end of the service, let's do something to bless him, I thought. let's all get our mobile phones out, and after the service, not now, because I want to talk to you guys, send him a message and just say, hey man, I just want to say you're a champion. You are doing a great job as youth pastor. I'm so excited to serve with you. You say whatever you like, and if I forget to mention this at the end, remind me, because I'd love to just see him just get this pile up of messages. What a blessing that would be. Because we won't do it now, because he'll be speaking at Penrith. That's where he is, if you don't know. He's off preaching to all different churches here and there and everywhere. But imagine if he just got this bunch of messages that was just praising him and thanking him for doing such a great job. And he probably doesn't get the recognition that he deserves. And so at the end of the service, if you don't have his mobile number, speak to someone that does. Most of you probably do. And let's just send him a message saying, you are a champion. And we're so blessed to be in your life or to serve in youth or whatever it is. Let's just really bless him, eh?
Yeah, that's good, Adrian.
Yeah, I thought so too. He's such a champion. He's blessed me in so many ways in my life. And I think, yeah, imagine having so many. It's like when it's your birthday and on Facebook, it's just loaded with these messages. You just feel so good. It's like, man, people love me. They care enough to write something about me on Facebook, and it's always nice. And just, I think Andy will be so blessed. Anyway, so we're talking about attitude tonight. Attitude, it's a touchy topic because we all have attitudes. And I have to admit, I don't have the greatest attitude all of the time. So as I'm speaking about attitude, don't think that I've got all this down pat, that I'm perfect. And that every point that I mention is something that I nail in my life. And so because I can do it, you can do it also. But this is stuff that God's put on my heart. And so I'm not perfect at it. So I'm speaking to myself as well. But let's just hear it from the voice of God rather than me. But just, yeah, just understand that I don't get all this all the time either. But we can do our best to have a good attitude.
That's right.
My dad used to say to me and my brother, can I smell a stinking attitude? He probably said it a few more times to Mitchell than he did to me. But often he would say, can I smell a stinking attitude? And it would often have the opposite effect as what he was hoping for. See, Dad was hoping that we would be mature enough and smart enough to recognize our bad attitude and go, yes, Dad, you're right. I have got a bad attitude. And right now, I'm going to change that, and I'm going to have a good attitude. That was the response Dad was after. But as you all know, and if your parents have said something similar to that, it was completely opposite. It, in fact, made our attitude even worse and worse. Can I smell a stinking attitude? I'll give you something that stinks. It's just, you wait till after dinner. I'll be making some stinking stuff, and you're going to smell it. It would have the opposite effect. It was what he was hoping. But as I was writing this message and reflecting on those years at home, and Dad would say that all the time, well, mostly to Mitchell and not to me, but I'd hear him saying it. I was just reflecting on that, and I've learned something. The attitudes have a smell. Attitudes have a smell. You can smell an attitude. Whether that's a good attitude or a bad attitude, you can smell it. People can smell it in your life. And something about attitudes, a good attitude smells different to a bad attitude. See, a good attitude is more like an aroma. It smells good. It's beautiful. It's attractive. It's pleasant. But a bad attitude, it's more like an odor. It stinks. It's disgusting. It's unattractive. It's like having smelly feet. No one wants to be around someone with a bad odor. It's like when someone steps in, you know what I'm talking about, it stinks. And that's what a bad attitude's like. And people can tell what you have, what you smell like.
Yeah, that's right.
Whether it's a good attitude or a bad attitude. And they both cause a different response. They both have a different reaction. See, an odor, someone might respond to an odor like and say something like this. What is that smell? That's disgusting. Like, did you tread in something? Have you washed yours? When was the last time you had a shower? That is gross, man. You stink. They might say something like that. Or if it's an aroma, well, that's a completely different response. It's like, ooh la la, what's that smell? Hi, my name. No, maybe not like that. But it's a completely different response. It entices you in. See, one, it makes you want to hold your breath, where the other makes you want to take a deep breath. One makes you want to throw up, and the other, I don't know, I couldn't think of something that, you know, is opposite to that. But they both have different responses, and if you've got a bad attitude, then people are not going to want to hang around you or talk to you or do things with you because, frankly, you stink. It's disgusting. You smell. Have it turn the person next to you and see if they've got an aroma or an odor. Don't tell them what they've got. Just, you know, just make a mental note that, ooh. What about yourself? Do you have an aroma or do you have an odor? So attitudes smell, and people can smell them. And if you've got a good attitude, then people will want to hang around you. They'll want to be with you. They want to speak to you. They'll want to do things with you because you have a good attitude, because you're pleasant to be around, and it's just not a problem. You're not whinging or whining about anything or just negative, but you're happy and you're content and you've got a good outlook on life, and people will be happy to hang around you because you smell good. What do you smell like? What do you smell like? And I want to ask you, see, on Sundays, we can all smell pretty good. We put deodorant on. That's a good thing, and I uphold that. But we can put on a good attitude for church. We can all put on a good attitude for church. We can come to church feeling we might have gone through some stuff, but we can fake it while we're at church and put on some deodorant. But I want to ask you, what do you smell like on a Monday? What do you smell like in your family? What do you smell like in your school, in your uni, at work? What is your attitude when you're not at church? It's easy to have a great attitude at church and just get caught up in sort of the atmosphere and just get into it with everybody else. But what do you smell like when you go home? What do you smell like the next day? See, we need to have a good attitude all the time. We need to smell nice all the time. The Bible is blunt when it comes to attitudes. In Philippians 2 verse 5, it says, "In your relationships with one another, have the same attitude of mind that Christ Jesus had." Yeah. Regardless of your circumstance, regardless of what someone has said about you, you are to have the same attitude that Jesus had. Full stop. Yeah. That's it. It doesn't matter what's happened. You are to have the same attitude as Jesus. Well, what's an attitude? I was thinking about it and I came up with a fancy answer on how to explain what an attitude is. And an attitude, it's an internal reaction that leads to an external behavior. Think about it and write it down. Simply, an attitude is a reaction. You react to something. It's something that happens on the inside, and then it leads to an external behavior. If someone said something nasty about you or said something on Facebook about you, then that's going to lead to a behavior, whether you say something back to them or you ignore them. Whatever you do, you gossip, it's leading to an external behavior. On the other hand, if someone says something really nice about you or God does something great in your life, then that's going to lead to another external behavior of praising God and being happy and just being nice to people because God's done something good in your life, and that's led to an external behavior. And so an attitude is a reaction. How are you going to react? And so if we're to have the same attitude as Jesus had, we need to react the way that Jesus would react, regardless of the circumstance or whatever's happening. As I was reading about attitudes, I learned that attitudes can be formed from something that just happens during the day, someone says something, or an attitude could be formed from a life experience you've grown up in. And so whatever it is, whether it's a life experience that maybe you grew up in, this is completely not useful at all, but maybe your parents listened to AC/DC your whole life as you were growing up, and then you just grew an attitude towards that, that you either love AC/DC because they listened to it so much, or you hated it so much, and so you grew up hating that music or loving that music, and your attitude to every other type of music was either you loved it or you hated it because of how you grew up. Now, that's completely useless information, but if you apply that to something else where maybe you grew up and your mom and your dad didn't ever say anything nice about you, then you grew up with an attitude that nobody loves you, nobody cares about you, and so your outlook on life is that nobody loves you, God doesn't love you, and there's nothing good going to happen in your life. Yeah. On the other hand, if you grew up in a Christian family, or doesn't have to be a Christian family, if you grew up with parents that loved you, had a family that was just continually saying positive things into your life, then your attitude and outlook on life will be completely different, and you'll be loving people, and you won't have a problem doing great things and stepping out there because you know you've always got people behind you that support you. So whether an attitude's formed over something that's happened in your life over years or over a moment when someone said something, your reaction is meant to be the same that Jesus would have. That's what the Bible says. There's no buts. It's full stop. It's no, but you don't understand what I'm going through.
Yeah.
No, you would have the same attitude that Jesus had for that circumstance. But you don't understand. I can't do that. I'm not like you. I just can't change my attitudes. No, but you would have the same attitude as Jesus had. There's no buts.
Yeah.
So I've got a few thoughts on what a positive attitude is and how that affects our life. But just remember, we're not all perfect and we're all going to mess up. And that's okay. But let's do our best to have a great attitude all the time. So here's my first thought. A positive attitude will always believe. People that have a positive attitude, they're always believing. They're always seeing things. They're always dreaming. They're always imagining. They're always trusting God. They're always looking beyond the circumstance of what's in their life. They're just the type of people that no matter what's happening in their life, they can say, God, I trust you because I'm believing that you're going to pull me through this and you're going to get me through this. God, I don't care what's going on in my life. I believe what your word says, and that's how I'm going to live my life, with faith in my heart, and I'm going to live that out every day. And that's the type of people that have a positive attitude, because a positive attitude always believes. The Bible, Jesus is always pulling up his disciples because of their lack of faith.
Yeah.
And he was also commending those and responding to people who had outrageous faith.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have a read. Open up with me to Mark 4, verse 35. Here's an example where Jesus responds to his disciples for their lack of faith. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall or a storm came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" On the flip side, have a look at Matthew 9, verse 27. Matthew 9, verse 27. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and asked him, "Do you believe?" And he asked them, that is Jesus, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." Jesus responded to his disciples when they had a lack of faith, and he also responded to people when they had faith, and miracles happened. And I want to say, if you're going to have people with a positive attitude, will always believe, will always have faith, will always take on life with faith, believing for God to move in whatever the circumstance is in your life. How I'm praying for my the guys at work, this whole prayer of three thing, it's now down to two because one's left. That's another story. I'm still praying for him. I'm praying for guys. I've been praying for these guys for a couple of years now. And there have been times, in fact, right just like now, where it seems like God isn't moving. It seems like there's just no progression in their life. And I could develop an attitude and say, "Well, God, you mustn't care about them. I'm just going to start praying for someone else." Or it could be even worse. "God, you're just not even going to listen to my prayers. I'm not going to bother anymore." Or I could have an attitude where I say, "God, I keep believing. I'm not going to stop believing that you're going to save these guys. And I'm going to act out of that belief and reach out to them. And I'm going to speak to them and just take opportunities as they come. I'm going to keep believing and believing and believing." And it takes a positive attitude to keep believing for things to happen, whatever that is in your life. So what's happening in your life? What situation are you in right now? How are you going to react to that? An attitude, it's a reaction. What's your reaction? Are you going to believe or are you going to give up? And a positive attitude will always believe. Number two, a positive attitude will always persevere. These are the type of people that finish the race. These are the type of the people that when they start something, they finish it. They never give up. And I'm thinking about this, it's always because they've got a vision before them. They've got the end result before them, and they can see what's there, what they're running towards, what they're aiming towards, and that's what often drives them to keep running, to keep persevering. I was at Hillsong Conference. One of the speakers in my elective was just talking about vision and the importance of vision. And he was just mentioning a story, not a true story. There was this family, and they just really needed a holiday. They needed a break. They needed to have some rest and just some relaxation time and spending time with the family. And one of their friends suggested to them, hey, I've got a great idea for your holiday. Why don't you go, get out on a sailing boat and just, you know, it's going to be dangerous. It's going to be dark, and the waves, if it gets pretty bad, you'll be fearing for your life, and you probably won't enjoy most of it, but there might be a calm day here and there. Why don't you just get out there and have a go? It's going to be really, really tough, and it's going to bring out the worst in your family, but why don't you do that? You guys need a break. Why don't you do that? And like, of course, the answer's like, what are you talking about? I'm not going to do that. I need a break. Yeah. But on the other hand, what if his friend said, hey, I notice you guys, you really want to have a holiday and need to relax and stuff. I've heard of this island, and I've been there actually, and it's a deserted island. It's just so beautiful. It's so relaxing, and if you go there, it'll just be perfect for you guys. I know, because you guys are stressed out, and you just need that time to relax and spend with your family. What do you reckon? Like, the water is just blue, and it's calm, and you just do whatever you like. And the guy's like, man, that sounds spot on for our family. Then the guy said, his friend said, well, to get there, you got to go by a sailing boat. And it can get pretty rough and the storms can come. But man, in the end, it's worth it. And the family, like, yeah, we're doing that. I don't care what's going to happen in between. I want to get to that place because I know it's going to be worth it. And so if you don't have vision in your life, then you probably won't persevere. So I encourage you to have a vision in your life. Have a goal in your life. Because when you've got that, and when it's clear, when it's visible, when you can see it, there's nothing that's going to stop you from keep running towards that. Whether it's a storm, whether something's going on in your life, your attitude isn't going to be to give up, but your attitude's going to be, I can see the end result, and this storm ain't going to stop me from getting to there. I'm going to go for it because I know God's going to pull me through. He's going to answer my prayer. He's going to provide for my need. Whatever it is, He's going to save my friends. And I'm going to persevere and persevere. I'm not going to give up. Something Pat said in our life group, which was really, really cool. Pat, he's just a legend. Everyone send Pat a message. If you could do anything for God, knowing that you would not fail, what would you do? That is one heck of a question. If you could do anything for God, knowing that you would not fail, what would you do? And it's like, well, if I could do anything for God, then obviously that's what God wants me to do, and I'm not going to fail. Well, do it. It's just crazy. It just puts you on the spot. And I just want to say, persevere. If you can do anything for God, go for it. Don't give up. You're not going to fail with God. If God's put something on your heart, don't ever, ever give up on that dream, on that goal, on whatever He's put there inside your heart. Don't ever give up, because you won't fail with Him. His plan is for you to succeed. His plan is for you to move forward and go places. In Jesus' name. Persevering is an attitude. It's a response. And how are you going to respond to when situations arise and they put you in your place and it makes you want to give up? But a positive attitude will never give up. They will persevere and keep running the race until they get to the end. Number three. A positive attitude will always value unity over self. Now, this is really important for us as a church and whatever team you're in. If you're in a team, whether it's serving in the youth team or the kids team or the music team or the setup team or the host team, whatever it is, A positive attitude will always value unity above self. The unity is way more important than you getting your own needs and you doing what you want to do. Unity of the team is so much more important. I want to read you two scriptures that just really nail this point. Romans 15, verse 5 is the first one. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and with one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Where there's unity, God is glorified. The next one is from John 17, verse 20. This is Jesus before he went to the cross, before he died on the cross. He was spending his last moments praying for people. And so from verse 20, here it is. My prayer is not for them alone, and he's talking about his disciples. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then, everyone say then. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Where there is unity, God is glorified. And where there is unity, people see who Jesus really is and people see the message that Jesus is all about. And I want to say that in our church teams, that unity is so important, because if we have unity, then God's being glorified. If someone says something, can little team, the teams in church are like little families. And we all know in families, our brother or sister annoy us and just, you know, they know how to rub us the wrong way, and stuff happens, and mum and dad ask us to do things that we don't like, and it's just annoying, and, you know, stuff happens in families, and stuff happens in teams as well at church, and you're going to get hurt, people are going to say things, but your attitude needs to be, hey, I'm not going to respond to this, I'm not going to cause a fuss, I'm not going to get back at them or gossip, I'm going to actually value the unity of this team above myself and above me responding to this in a negative way, because I know where there's unity, God is glorified. I know where there's unity, we'll achieve our purpose and reach the full potential of what we have. And I know where there's unity, the message of Jesus is clear to everybody outside of the church. And so unity is so important. Can you imagine if everybody in the church got to have their own way? Everyone, you just do what you like. Well, the church would be a mess, wouldn't it? Yeah. It would just be a complete disaster. If everyone on the music team just decide, like Luke just said, look, you just play whatever you like. We're just going to have a free night. God's going to be glorified. We're just going to play. You can play whatever song you like, Malcolm. Pat, you can play anything you like. I'm going to play a song that I've just been writing. Liz, just go for it. I don't really care. Just do whatever. It's a mess. Nothing's going to happen. It's just going to be a complete disaster. And so, you know what happens in the music team? We musicians, we play the same song over and over and over and over and over. And it's easy to develop an attitude that when we get a message about what, or the email about what song we're playing this week, and it's like, oh, that song, I hate that song. I play it every week, and it's... We can develop an attitude where we're just like, I don't care, I'm just going to get up there and play. I'm not going to give my best and play that stupid song every week. Don't really like it anyway. It was good the first time I heard it, but now that we've played it for like 1,000 times, it just doesn't have the same impact. You know, the person that chose that song to begin with, they're listening to God and after his inspiration on what God wants to do in church on that particular day. And so if someone's going to cause a fuss about that, and I know we all have that little feeling inside about that song or whatever, but if we decide to hold a grudge against that person or just not to do our best on a Sunday, then it's just not going to create unity. And we know that in music that everyone needs to be playing to the same beat, playing the same chords in the same timing. And when that happens, it's just amazing and it's awesome. And God is glorified. And the message of Jesus is clear and people can see that. But as long as we have a bad attitude, as long as someone just doesn't care and plays something else or just doesn't give their all, then it just ruins it. It just doesn't have the same impact. And so a positive attitude will always value unity above self. Unity is far more important than self and what's happening on the inside. And an attitude is a reaction. How are you going to react? Are you going to react saying, hey, look, I don't agree with what whatever song we're playing. I don't agree with what my leaders told me. I don't agree, or I think that's a stupid idea. But hey, I know that unity, if we all work together on this, then we're going to do a great job. And God's going to be glorified, and the message of Jesus is going to be clear to those that don't know him. I'm just going to do that, and I'm just going to serve with all that I am. Man, God's going to do some amazing things. And this just doesn't apply for church teams as well. This applies in your workplace, in your family, in your sporting teams. Like Queensland and New South Wales and the Origin. New South Wales getting demolished because there's such great unity in the Queensland team. They've played with each other so many times, and us New South Welshmen, we're just playing with someone different every time, and so there's not as much unity. And every now and then, we'll just be playing together, and it'll be great, but because Queensland have just played together every time. The same people, they know each other. It's just that consistency beats us every time. And so when we are unified in everything that we do, we will win and we'll keep moving forward. A positive attitude will always praise. This is a really cool one, really important one. A positive attitude will always praise. You're going to positive person will respond to every situation with praise. God, I glorify you. God, I don't care if I lost my job or whatever it is, it might be something small. Someone said something about you and it just rubbed you the wrong way. God, I don't care. I'm just going to praise. I'm just going to praise because, you know what? The fact that God is God is just enough reason for us to praise him, for us to spend the rest of our lives, every second of every day praising him, and that would still not be enough for God because he's just so awesome. He deserves our praise just because he is God. The bonus is that he loves us and he sent Jesus to die for us and he actually wants to do good things in our life. And so praising him is just awesome because it's not just because he's God, but he wants to do good things in your life. Acts 16, 23 to 25, it's part of the story about Paul and Silas. This is what it says. It says, after they had been severely flogged, it's not like a rugby match. They had been severely flogged physically. They were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. Now, these guys, they could have easily developed an attitude that, oh, man, this sucks. They were actually serving God and doing good things, and that's what put them in jail. They could have said, you know what, God, I don't care anymore. We try to serve you. We're trying to please you, do good things for you. We obviously don't care. Look where we are. We're in prison. They could have got all depressed and whinged and whined about their situation. Man, they got flogged. This was hard stuff. This isn't just something little. Instead, in verse 25, it says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. They chose. Their attitude was to praise rather than to whinge, rather than to whine, rather than to get depressed or worry about the circumstance. They chose to praise. And I believe that we need to choose to praise in every situation of our lives. You know, David in the Old Testament, he was such a mighty man. He was the man of men. He was an influential leader who led a nation into victory after victory against other nations that were bigger than them. This guy, he fought lions, he fought Goliath, he fought bears, and he beat them all. This guy is quite amazing, and he just had such a strong faith. He was just so in love with God, and he just went places. And I just wonder if he did all that and was such an influential and strong person, if that was because he spent so much of his time praising God. When you read the Psalms, 90% of the Psalms that Dave wrote, it's just praise. You just flick it open and it's praise. And David is just praising and praising and praising. And probably 50% of those Psalms, they start with David whinging about something. Something's going really bad in his life. And then he finishes in praise. He's just a man that praises God, and because of that praise in his life and his eyes are just continually fixed on Jesus, whatever the situation, whatever came up against him in life, he was able to overcome that because he was just so God-focused. He was just so focused. Lord, I love you. I just want to praise you with everything that I am. I don't care if there's this Goliath standing in front of me. I don't care if I've got no job, if I don't have any money. I don't care if my friends are still not responding to you, God. I'm just going to keep praying. I'm just going to keep believing. I'm just going to keep praising you, God, because you are God. And we need to have attitudes where we decide to praise rather than we decide to whinge and whine and have a little pity party with our friends. We need to praise, praise, praise God because he deserves it. And he wants to do good things in your life. Hebrews 13 verse 15, through Jesus therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. Praise God when it hurts. Praise God when you are lost and you don't know where you're going. Praise God when the future is cloudy and you just can't see anything. Praise God when you've got no money. Praise God when you just don't know what's going on. Praise God when it doesn't seem like he's around. Give him a sacrifice of praise in every situation. A positive attitude will always praise regardless of the situation. What circumstance are you in? What's going on in your life? Praise God. You know, I don't even care what your answer is. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. The last point, a positive attitude will always serve. They will always serve. I love these people, and we've got so many of them here in church. They just serve. They're like, God, I love you so much, I'm just going to serve you. Yep. It's not about me, God. I'm not going to try and climb the ladder of success at church and just do what I can do to get to the top. I just want to serve you, God. I just want to serve you. I just want to serve you, God, because you're so awesome. You saved me, Lord. You're doing good things in my life. And God, I just want to serve you. I just want to serve you. That's awesome. That is the heart of God right there. A positive attitude will always serve. In Philippians 2, verse 5 to 7, it talks about Jesus and how his attitude was to be a servant. He came to this earth and he took up a human form to be a servant. See, he knew who he was and he knew what his role was. And I think if we know who we are and we know what our role is, then we'll begin to live life to the full. And so let me explain who you are and what your role is. You're a servant and your role is to serve. And when you have that attitude, then you'll begin to enjoy life, because servanthood is not like being a slave and you're just getting whipped by God and he doesn't care about you. He just wants to get the job done. Serving God is the best thing you can ever do. And he'll just lead you down some awesome paths in your life. And it's just amazing. I just want to serve God. I just want to serve you. If you want to climb the ladder of success in church or wherever, make sure there's a lot of padding on the ground, a lot of pillows that you can fall on, because the Bible says the first shall be last and the last shall be first. See, God's not about people trying to get to the top. He's just about people that want to serve him. Yeah. And from what I've seen in church life, everybody that has a position of leadership is just there because they've served. Yeah. They just want to serve. Then someone asks them, hey, can you lead this? Can you do that? Can you look after this ministry? It's not like they're looking, I want to be youth pastor, I'm going to do all this and people are going to see me preach and they're going to see all the wonderful things that I can do. That Andrew, he just served. And just look where he is. And that's why I wanted to send messages to him, because he's such a champion. He just wanted to serve. Positive attitude, but always serve. I want to finish with this and the band can come up. So when you have a bad attitude, what do you do? Because we all have those bad days. Give it to God. I was speaking earlier about how bad attitude's like an odor and it stinks and it smells. But like when we sweat, it starts on the inside, then it comes out and we give that smell to other people. And so a bad attitude, it starts on the inside, then it works its way out in external behavior, like I said, and other people receive that bad attitude. I want to encourage us that before it gets to the outside of us, that we give that to God first. And so only a good attitude will come out of us and not a bad one. And we will smell awesome rather than stinking of a bad attitude. So when you do get that bad attitude, it's the hardest thing. Give it to God. Yeah. Give it to God before you give it to him. Yeah. Give it to other people. and watch what he can do. And then you'll, it's hard, it sucks, no one likes it, but that's what he wants us to do. Give it to God before you give it to other people. Let's pray. Oh God, I love you. I praise you, Lord, and just thank you that you are a good God and you're doing good things. I thank you that you're doing something good in every single person here in this church right now, God. And Lord, we just want to praise you and honor you and serve you with every day of our lives, God. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, God. Lord, I want to lift up everybody that might be struggling with attitudes, myself included. And God, I pray that you would help us to give you our bad attitudes, and when people say something or circumstances come up, God, that we wouldn't respond in a negative way and start stinking and smelling out the room, God. But I pray we'd give you our attitudes. I pray you would help us and show us how we can give you our attitudes, our bad attitudes, so that you can do a work inside of us and only the good will come out, God. And so, Lord, I lift up every person here today, God, and I believe in Jesus' name that you can do that in every single person's life, God, that we can all have a great attitude in life and approach life with a positive attitude and always praising, always serving, always persevering, God, always valuing unity above ourselves, God. And I just pray that over myself and every other person here in Jesus' name. Have your way, God. Do it. I believe it, God. Guys, we give this opportunity every week. It's not just a part of the service, or we're up to the who wants to know Jesus part. This is real, and I want to give an opportunity for people that don't know Jesus. If you don't know Jesus and you don't have a relationship with him, now is a great time to respond to that and say, yeah, I want to know God. And so if that's you, just raise your hand just so that I can see it and pray for you. Awesome. That's great, man. Champion. That's awesome. If you don't know God, just say, God, I want to know you, Lord. You're good. I'm hearing all this great stuff about you and that you're doing all this good stuff in people's lives. Lord, I want to know you. That's great. That's fantastic. I don't know if we've got the prayer that we always pray up on the screen. Here it comes. Let's all pray this together as one in unity. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life and I'll follow you. Amen. Awesome, guys.
Do you want to stand to your feet? We will finish with a song. Message Andrew. Tell him how great he is.